Amen. Thank you. That means all distributed. Do we have more? We took ours. Oh no! Well, that's excellent. To find 1,000 just disappear from the box is really, really good. I am so pleased with that. Just to say, next Sunday is the Nativity at church. So Jenny has asked me to remind you guys that if you can bring a snack, for a Christmassy snack for next Sunday, so we can have a bite after the Nativity play. So don't forget that for next Sunday, right? Just to also say that I am Andrew. The cards are still available. I've asked you to think about somebody that you want to pray for and take to the Billy Graham festival that's happening. Has anyone thought about somebody they want to take? If you didn't put up your hand already. Right. I have 50 more cards here, and I'm hoping that all these cards will go in the next few months. Cassie has brought Michelle to church. And last week we had a conversation with Michelle. If you meet her during this service and after the service, please get to know her. Michelle and Gemma are two of Cassie's friends that have started coming to church. Cassie is in line to get baptized next month also, on the 26th of January. So, not Cassie, Michelle. Oh, we'll just put you in the water too. Yeah. So Michelle is planning to get baptized next January on the 26th. So keep praying for her. But I'll just share a story. Last Sunday when we spoke to Michelle, we gave her a Bible just for her to read and told her which part of the Bible she should be reading. And when she took the Bible home, her children got excited about it, her two daughters. And they've come to church this morning and said, "Can I have a Bible too?" So we've just given two kiddies' Bibles to two of her daughters that they will go and read. So there's an excitement that God is in the business. So just before I go to talk to you, I'm going to call Andy Bishop, who will talk to us, who will read us the scriptures.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to see everyone here. It's good to see some new faces. It's been a privilege to come up and be asked to talk from the Bible. But before I do, I just want to share something that's just touched me this week. Being asked to talk from the Bible, a story from my mother. She got in touch with me. I never got a chance to meet my grandparents. They both sadly died before I was born. But just recently, I've been handed a Bible from my mum. And it was actually one of my mum's dad's Bible. And it's great to know that he was a man of God. But not only that, during the Second World War, he was on the battleships. He was spent all his time on there on the battleships. And while he was on there, he always carried a small Bible in his top pocket. He was renowned for carrying his Bible wherever he went. And just some of the thoughts, I sat there and just thought about, I've got that same Bible myself. I've thought I'd carry on the process, but that little Bible, just when times are hard, when you're on that battleship, you can imagine when you're at the lowest points, when you didn't know if you were going to make it home, or Craigie, to have that Bible with you to get it out and study the Word of God. It's touching and it's refreshing and comforting to know that he was a man of God as well. So what we're going to be studying today is from the New King James Version that Rocky's got up on here. So if you haven't got your Bibles with him, I think it might be coming on the screen, if you've got it on the screen. Yeah, it's a good passage, especially this time of year. So I'm not a great reader, so I will do my best with this. Okay. "And it came to pass in the days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Cyrenius was governing of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary. He was betrothed, his betrothed wife, who was with child, so it was
that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you in this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards all men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told concerning this child, and all those who heard it marveled that those things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them into her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. I just want to go back to this highlighted part of verse number 15. "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And I want to take you this morning back to Bethlehem again. And I want you to come with me as we get into this place where the manger is. And I want you to peep into the manger. And I want you to see that this story of Christmas is your story. What happened 2,000 years ago was a beginning of starting to write your story. So I want you to take a few moments, and I want you to look at this manger, this imaginary manger. And I want to ask you, what do you see in this manger? What is lying in there? It's a question that you have to come to answer as we go through this morning's talk. Because in it, what was this manger holding? It held the turning of water into wine at the wedding in Cana. So when you look at this manger, you're not just looking at a baby. You're looking at a miracle that's going to happen. You're looking at it held the healing of an official son at Capernaum in Galilee. So you're not looking at a baby. You're looking at this manger holding the healing of somebody. So I want you to refocus now. I want you to look at something different when you look into this manger this morning. Not just to look at a baby, but to see the things that have transpired in the life of Jesus. It held the driving out of an evil spirit from a man in Capernaum. It held the healing of Peter's mother-in-law sick with fever. It held the healing of many sick and oppressed. It held the first miraculous catch of fish on the lake of Gennesaret. It held the cleansing of a man with leprosy. You see Bethlehem different today. Now when you're looking at this baby in this manger, when you are looking at this manger and seeing this child, there's something else you are seeing. You are seeing all that Jesus has come to do on this earth. It held the healing of a centurion's paralyzed servant in Capernaum. It held the healing of a paralytic who was let down from the roof. It held the healing of a man's withered hand on the Sabbath. It held the raising of a widow's son from the dead in the village of Nain. Are you seeing that? Are you looking at this manger and you're seeing a miracle happening? Are you looking at this manger and seeing something amazing going on in town? It held the calming of a storm on the sea. It held the feeding of 5,000 plus women and children. It held the one who walks on water. It held the healing of many sick in Gennesaret and as they touched his garment. It held the healing of a gentle woman's demon-possessed daughter. It held the healing of a deaf and dumb man. It held the feeding of 4,000 plus women and children. It held the healing of a blind man at Bethsaida. It held the healing of a man born blind by spitting in his eyes. It held the healing of a boy with an unclean spirit. It held the miraculous temple tax in a fish's mouth. It held the healing of a blind, mute demoniac. It held the healing of a woman who has been crippled for 18 years. It held the healing of a man with dropsy on the Sabbath. You see Christmas differently this morning. You come to Bethlehem and you peep into the stable and you don't see a baby anymore lying there. You see the miracle of Christmas. You see the remarkable things that Jesus does to humanity as we ponder Christmas this morning. It held the cleansing of 10 lepers on the way to Jerusalem. It held the raising of Lazarus from the dead in Bethany. It held the restoring of sight to Bartimaeus in Jericho. It held the withering of the fig tree on the road from Bethany. In fact, it held the whole four Gospels in that manger. When that child was born in that manger and the Son was given, these miracles were there in that manger. So Christmas, as you come to it, it held the second miraculous catch of fish. It held the one who calmed the storms. It held the bread and fish that fed 5,000. It held the new eyes by which the blind man saw. It held the new legs with which the lame man walked. It held the living water given to the Samaritan woman at the well. It held the freedom given to the woman caught in adultery. It held the beatitudes. It held the tears that was wept over Jerusalem. It held Lazarus' new life. It held the cross that destroyed death. It held the Father, forgive them, uttered from the cross. It held the story of the return of the prodigal. It held the open tomb of resurrection. It held the bread of life and the cup of salvation. It held the shepherds before God and God before the shepherds, and it still does today. It held the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. From that one manger, we were all given new life, new hope, new possibilities. That one Christmas story, as you go to Bethlehem, and as you look into that manger, your story is lying in that manger with new life, new hope, new possibilities. You see that one manger holds more than circumstances and a baby. It holds the future of humanity. It holds the salvation of humanity. It holds your healing. It holds your deliverance. It holds your prosperity. It holds your future. The future of your story is held in that manger in Bethlehem this morning. It always holds more than we can see. It held more than the shepherds could see. It held the Son of God and a message to you. This Christmas, as you go and view the nativity scene, as you do all your Christmassy stuff, remember that when you come to the manger, your story is in that manger. There is no single Christmas story. There are an endless number of Christmas stories. Every time somebody stands up and talks about the goodness of God, the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, my very soul cries out, hallelujah. It's your story. It's your Christmas story. What happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus came was your Christmas story being written in it. And these Christmas stories are happening all the time. There's a miracle waiting with your name on it. The miracle of Christmas has your name on it. There are at least as many Christmas stories here today as there are people. And if I had to give each one of you a chance this morning, you will share your Christmas story. The day that Jesus came into your heart and became the Lord of your life. Remember what the angel told the shepherds? I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. Who? An elite few? A select few? No, for all people, not some people, not just the good people, not just the believing people only, all people. No one is left out of the story. So tell me, when have you been to Bethlehem? What did you see? What did you experience? Have we become so consumed with the buying and trading of Christmas that we missed the story? The Christmas story, your story that is being written. What is your Christmas story this morning? The manger held your story. The manger, when Jesus came to this earth, he started your story. And as you continue to write your Christmas story, and as you continue to tell your Christmas story, we constantly go back to the manger. We look at it and we see our story in it. Amen? Amen. So what's your story? What has Jesus done for you lately? What is your experience with this Lord of heaven who has come down to touch your life? And as we celebrate Christmas, and as we come to all the things that we will do during this Christmas, I want you to constantly go back and start reflecting on what Jesus means to you. The story, the Christmas story that Jesus is writing with your life. As you go around putting these cards into people's post boxes, what story are you writing? What story is going to be written in that person's life because you put the card in and they responded? What story is going to be written because you have been obedient to what God is calling you to do? What story is being written at the moment that you are all excited about? What does 2020 hold for you? It's so good, 2020 vision. Brilliant, isn't it? A good, clear vision for the coming year. But what is your 2020 story? What was your 2019 story? What was your 2019 Christmas story? And what are you trusting God to write in the coming year? That's going to dawn on us in a few weeks' time. So this morning, as you go to Bethlehem, and as you look into the manger, see your story. See what God is about to unfold in your life. See the things that God is about to do in you and through you. And through you write new stories. Amazing stories. And you are called to be part of it. Imagine what a privilege it is that this great God and Savior is saying to you and to me, come and join me in writing a new story. Are you ready? Are you ready to take your new story and to start writing? Turn the page. Once a chapter is over, you don't go read the chapter again. You start the new chapter. Start writing the new chapter. Start trusting God and saying to God, I want to write this new chapter with you. In fact, I want you to hold my hand. I will hold the pen, you hold the hand, and help me to write this chapter out. And I want it to be a beautiful chapter. I want it to be a Christmas story like none other. I want it to be a Christmas story that the past 52 years cannot compare to. In my life, I want it to be a new story. A story that will be lived and a story that will be told and a story that only Jesus can write because the Bible says that he makes all things beautiful in his time. Are you ready for that story? Are you ready, church? Are you ready to write the story? Are you ready to go back to Bethlehem and reflect in that manger and say, I can see the story. I can see what's going on there. And now I can see my story unfolding in front of me. God is about to write a new story in you and through you and with you. Let's get him to write on this new chapter we are turning this morning. Will you bow in prayer with me? As the worship team comes forward, I want you to reflect on this great God and Savior lying in this manger and telling you that I'm ready to write your Christmas story. But your Christmas story is not going to be for Christmas time. It's going to be forever. Every single page you turn, every single new day you get into, every single new week you get into, I'm writing a new chapter and a new story and a Christmas story none that cannot be compared to the stories that you've written in the past. And this morning God is saying to you that I want to hold your hand And I want to take you into this future. And I want to tell a new story with your life. I want you to spend a few moments in silence. And I want you to just ask the Lord, Lord, what's my story? What's my story for the future? As I ponder on Bethlehem, and as I look at the manger, and I see the miracle of Christmas there, I look at my life and I see the miracle of my life. And now, Lord, I want you to write the story. What is it? Father, as your children sit before you this morning and turn over the page, and in front of them is just a blank page, I ask, Lord, that you would help us write this Christmas story about our lives and what you mean to us. That as we go back to Bethlehem and as we reflect on this miracle of Christmas, that story will be unfolded and written in us and through us and with us. So I pray and commit each one of your children this morning to you. As we dream about the future and as we think about where you're taking us, write the story, Lord, the best way you know how. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.